And go to the book of James, chapter 5, if you would. This is not what I was going to share tonight, but the Lord just brought this to my attention here in the middle of worship. And I don't know if everybody was here, if you were here Sunday or not, but I was preaching about adamant faith. You know, the scripture there in Ezekiel is talking about adamant faith. He said he made Ezekiel's head harder than their heads and harder than flint. And that word there, it said he made it as an adamant stone. And if you look up the word adamant stone and search it all out, it's referring back to, the adamant stone supposed to be the hardest rock that there was. And then I talked about a diamond and how the adamant stones talked about that, you know, it had sharp edges, and so it's able to cut through whatever's out there in life. And, you know, we're all going to have obstacles in life. We're all going to have problems in life. There's going to be things that rise up in front of us that we have to walk in faith, because faith is the only thing that's ever going to bring us victory. We can complain, we can whine, we can worry, we can fret, we can do whatever. But the only thing that's going to propel us forward in life and bring victory in our lives is if we're going to walk in faith and believe God, because the things that are impossible to men are possible with God. So we have to come to the end of ourselves and realize that you're not going to be able to get it done by your own strength and your own abilities. You're not going to get it to be done by your exercise of faith. You have to have adamant faith. You have to have faith that cuts through whatever the problems are. You know, and if you look at a diamond and it's realized it's the sharpest stone that there is, and that that it can cut through anything. There's nothing out there that it can't cut through. That's the kind of faith we need. Amen. But I don't know about y'all. I don't always have adamant faith. I sometimes have wavering faith. I sometimes have hoping faith. I sometimes have mental faith. But you know, there's certain areas in my life that I do have adamant faith in. I know it. It's things that I believe that, you know, it's not going to, no matter what anyone says, is not going to change my focus, my faith. And it's not going to do it because it's adamant, stuck. It's good. That's what you got to build off of in life. So, thinking about this message, thinking about where we are, takes me to this scripture here in James chapter 5, verse 16. Now, we've talked about also about, you know, that at all times the enemy is trying to undermine your faith. He's trying to work in there to get you to you know, oh, what about so-and-so? They were really believing God and didn't see anything. Or what about, I remember, oh, you know, so-and-so, he was praying and this didn't happen, you know. And so he's always trying to undermine your faith, or you're praying for something and it looks like nothing's going the right direction. Anybody ever been there? Hello? You know, right? And so the devil's trying to undermine your faith. It's like the, you know, the water washing up on the beach and taking stuff out. And it's just trying to just that tide effect. It may not be very strong. It may not be very, big tidal wave coming in all at once. But it's just that little undermining. Finally gets underneath the foundation, and the foundation is going to come weak, right? We've all been there. We've all done that. Well, James here comes up and he's talking to his church. And James says here in chapter 5, verse 16, says, confess your trespasses to one another. Now, some of the translations say trespasses say faults. Some translations say sins. Some translations say misgivings. But it says your trespasses to one another. You thinking, do we have any trespassers in here? Anybody that may trespass once in a while? Huh? Just once in a while. Right? I mean, you know, we have buildup. Let's just put it that way. Right? We have buildup of trespasses. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, if you take that verse and you look at it, that part of it, he's not talking about like you're sick and you need to be healed. Not like you have a cold and you're trying to get over it. What he's talking about is you need to be healed from what the condition by not confessing your trespasses has done to you. Right? A lady was telling me a story the other day, said that her brother was playing cars on a window, and he was pushing the little cars towards the window, and finally he pushed it too hard and it broke the glass, and so he shut the shutters, and then he went downstairs, told his mother, he said, "Whatever you do, do not ever open those shutters." So, I mean, you know, what is the first thing she's going to go do is say, "What are you talking about? Why would I never want to open the shutters?" And so there he broke the window. And we're kind of like that in life. You know, we do something that, you know, whatever. We know that we're wrong, whatever, but we don't do anything about it. Okay? So it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So, unconfessed trespasses will get you sick. Sick in your head, sick in your soul, right? Okay. Then it goes, it's the same verse. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Right? So God's trying to answer your prayer. He's trying to make it come to pass. He's trying to make it happen, right? But it says the effectual and fervent prayer, if he needed to say the effectual and fervent prayer of a man avails much, then the rest of that verse wouldn't have made any sense, but he put the word righteous in there. And what happens to us is when we're walking in trespasses, then we don't feel right before God. So if we don't feel right before God, we're not righteous. So therefore, when we're praying, we're not seeing any effect to our prayers. We're doing it to ourselves. We're negating our own effectiveness because we're not walking in the righteousness because we're not free. You with me? Ken, let me tell you this story. Let me just, this story will sum it all up. Like I said, this wasn't what I was preaching, but just back there worshiping, just, I know it's Holy Ghost. So, okay, down on one of the jobs that we're working on this housing project, there's a big spider that came up on the side of my house, my office. And it was right in front of the window. One of these big old nasty, I don't know what it is, if it's a garden spider or, you know how the old yellow backed ones, you know, it's got the black stripes on it, you know, big old thing, you know, it's a big sucker. And, you know, just, I was gone and, you know, over the weekend or whatever, and I came back and he'd made this elaborate web, looked like Charlotte's web, over the glass that's right in front of my sink that looks out over the project. So here's this big old nasty spider. So the first thing I started to do was go knock him down, and I just got busy and never knocked him down. And so this thing really set up residence there, you know. And so after a while, I got to like, well, he's on the outside. As long as he stays outside and I'm inside, you know, we're okay. If you come in here, I'll smash you. But, you know, if you're out there, just leave you alone. So as we began to work, you know, the carpenters or all the construction guys are coming up. And so they noticed the big spider. And so nobody wanted to mess with it. And so then the guys start feeding the spider. Okay? They'd catch a cricket or they'd catch a little grasshopper or something and they would throw it up in the web and then everybody would be mesmerized by coming up and looking at the spider just quickly go up there and start spinning his web around this thing and just bind this little old dude up, whatever it was they threw in there, you know? So I would see them all, you know, out another window. I would see them all over there like, you know, you're supposed to be working. Everybody's watching the spider, you know. And so in a minute, I'd let them have their fun. And then I'd go stand over there in front of the deal, be looking at them. You know, I'm looking through the glass. And they're all sitting out there looking at them, the spiders in between us. And finally, in a minute, they'd get the hint and go back to work. And so, I mean, they've been feeding this spider now for weeks. And this thing is like, I told them, I said, you guys are going to kill it. Feeding it too much. I mean, it's just not right. I mean, the spider, we have an obese spider is what we have. I said, it's ridiculous. I mean, this thing is bigger than it's normally supposed to be. I said, he's eaten more in the last 3 weeks than he probably should in 6 months, you know? I mean, how many bugs go through a spider's nest? I don't really know, but anyway. No, not as many. I mean, we're talking about a couple of crickets a day this thing's getting. And so, anyway. So, the other day, I was getting ready to walk out. And I walked out, and there was a big, full-size praying mantis in the web. Okay, so they caught this praying mantis, and they threw him in the web. And so I was watching this thing trying to get itself out of this web, and man, this is the strangest thing in the world. Just standing right there, you know, I just was like welled up with compassion. And so I took a stick, and everybody's watching, you know, waiting for the big kill. And before the spider could get there, I just reached up there with a little stick, and I pulled that praying mantis' legs off and worked him around on the stick and got him off, and then took him over there and threw him in the grass. Well, you know, since I'm the boss, nobody's going to tell me, you know, anything. So everybody's just kind of sitting there. And so one of the guys looked at me and said, "Why'd you do that?" And I said, "Because I'm giving all y'all today a lesson on mercy." I said, that's a good example of mercy. Now, I really wasn't thinking about all this. It was just kind of coming out of me, you know. I said, "It is a good lesson on mercy." I said, "We all need to learn mercy." And so then later I got to thinking about it. I said, "Man, well, Lord, how many times have I been just like that spider? I mean, just like the praying mantis. Got caught in the spider's web." Right? And what is it? What does the Bible tell us about mercy and God? What happens every morning? Yeah. Fresh and new. Every morning, right? So I didn't really think that this took too much effect on the guys. And so, you know, the day went on and we worked all that day. And then today, we had another section of the house marked off with batter boards or boards that we set up to draw string lines to set the house up. Well, when I went to go to one, they had run over it with a piece of equipment and it was totally destroyed. So we're talking about like we had worked hours to have this measured to the exact half an inch, and somebody's run over my board. And so I said, "Who ran over the board?" So the guy that I told him about mercy, it was him. So he said, "What about the lesson on mercy yesterday?" And I said, "That was yesterday, and my mercies aren't fresh and new every day." Yeah, it was perfect, you know. I mean, it was like, wait a minute, where's the mercies, right? So, I don't know about y'all, but I mean, that was a real example to me this week about, you know, wait a minute, here's God, and this is what He's saying to us. You know, He's every morning, His mercies to us are fresh and new. Every morning He looks at you with absolutely nothing but love and compassion that He had for you the day before. He doesn't look at you and say, "You sorry, rotten, no good scoundrel, you need to be eaten by the spider. Or I'm going to let the spider get really close to you and then I'll save you." I mean, you ought to see this spider. I mean, this spider, if this thing jumped on me, you'd see me scream like a girl and run. Damn, this thing's ferocious. I mean, if we had spider races or spider derby or spider anything, man, I'm telling you what, we'd win with our spider. But back to this prayer, you see what happens to us is we forget that God's mercies are fresh and new every morning. Instead of keeping us as the effectual and fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much, a righteous man avails much, we let the enemy come in and undermine us. We let him get us caught up in his web. We let him get our feet get sticky and then begin to tell us that we're not in that position, that our prayer is going to answer much. So what do you do to get free? Repent. It's always the key to everything. Repent. Confess your faults to one another. Say, "Man, listen, I gotta tell you this. And then repent and let God forgive you. So His mercies are fresh and new, so you can maintain your position of righteousness. You can maintain, and a lot of time it's not your position didn't move, just you don't feel like you're supposed to be there. Right? Dwayne told me a good story Sunday about when he was in the military that one day he and this other guy, they were always wrestling, and the guy was a handful, and so the sergeant came out, and they were privates, And so he called Hillis over there and he said, you know, what's the matter? Is so-and-so giving you a hard time? He said, yeah. And he said, well, here. And he took his bars off and he pinned them on Dwayne. So now Dwayne's got rank over this guy. So he runs him through calisthenics and push-ups and everything because he has to do what he says because he's got the bars on. And then in a minute, he comes back over and said, did you have fun? Everything good? He said, yes, sir, I really enjoyed that. And he said, great. And so he took the bars off him, and then he called the other guy over. And he pinned the bars on him. And we were just talking between he and I, saying, isn't it amazing how much power is in those little bars? When you're in the military, those little bars make a big difference. Right? And that's what happens to us. We get into these positions, we take our bars off. We take it off ourselves. We say, oh, we're just caught in the web. We get confused. We're not thinking right. And we take the bars off. So our prayers are not effective and firm because we're not praying from the position of righteousness instead of keeping the bars on, repenting, getting out of the spider's web, and going on. But the Lord's mercy is fresh and new every morning. Right? So you remember the message I preached a few weeks ago called hot potato, you remember? How quick do you get rid of it? When you have a problem, God wants us to hot potato it off, right? So we can't hot potato if we're stuck in this web. You know, if we're caught up in that spider and he's spun it all on us and we're stuck and we can't move, well, we can't hot potato it out of there. So we want to be free. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, be free. Amen? Which one? Ecclesiastes, right? Lamentations. It's one or the other. I would look it up for you, but my computer's dead. Isn't that terrible that I don't remember it right off the top of my head? Get it, Bob. And then, can I have a drum roll, please? 3:23? Lamentations 3:23. They are new every morning. So 3:22. The Lord's mercies are not consumed because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Lord God Almighty. The Good News Translation translates it this way. The Lord's unfailing love and mercies are still continuing, fresh as the morning and sure as the sunrise. Fresh as the morning and sure as the sunrise. I like that. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Old spider got me a message. Praise God. Well, ushers, help me. Let's take up our offering tonight. I ought to take a picture of this spider and then put it down on the computer and we can shoot him up on the screen. We'll show him what a spider looks like. King size. Spider's bad, but it ain't as bad as stick. Put your hand over your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we can come and that we can rescue orphans. We can praise your name. We can preach the gospel around this world.
And Lord, you're so good to us. We just praise you for it. We just thank you for blessing our businesses and that you are our financier. And that, Lord, no matter what comes, you're always there. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man, in Guatemala right now, children are raining out of the sky. Talked to Ivan yesterday, and another family of three came in. And I said, Ivan, where are we putting these kids? He said, well, Kimberly's down there, and she's making room. And I said, well, who's getting pushed out of their bed, you know, because there's only so much space. And he said, well, all I can say is we've got to hurry up and build another house. And so they're feverishly working to get another house online, but it takes time. So y'all keep praying for that. Get another house. He's doing good. He said he's preached 17 days straight. Hadn't been home yet. So he was in Georgia yesterday, headed to someplace like Minnesota, somewhere. Still in the States, but busy going around, preaching. He just preached a big convention, this place he was at in Georgia, where Copeland and Savelle and I don't remember who all he was saying was in there. And I thought it was funny because they had the pastor that's, or the preacher that's supposed to preach on Friday night canceled. And so instead of asking the other guys, they asked Ivan, will you do two nights? So I said, well, good. And so it was a church that was full of a lot of drug addicts. And so he tore the place up. And God's Girls tomorrow night. Y'all don't forget about that. Pizza, right? No? No. Thought I'd throw that out. Pizza and ice cream. Herbs. Will y'all stand to your feet? Grab that person's hand beside you. Look at them and say, be free. So, Father, I just thank you tonight. As we leave here, we're going to be free. We're not going to get caught up in the cords of sin. We're not going to get caught up in those trespasses that would hold us from walking in righteousness, Lord. I just declare that the effectual and fervent prayers of a righteous man, they do avail much. And that's the place we want to be with you. So, Lord, bless us. Lord, just give us a word this week to tell everybody we run across. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.